This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Tariffs on hold. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, May 1st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Trump administration is giving European allies a one-month extension to continue dialogue that could avert a 25% import duty on steel.
Israel's prime minister produces secret documents that he says prove Iran has been lying about its nuclear program.
A handful of women and children from a Central American caravan have been allowed into the U.S. for asylum processing.
And why colleges and universities continue to add more students to their wait lists.
At a lot of schools, the wait lists are getting longer because more high school seniors are applying to more colleges each, which means, say they get into four schools, they're only going to one. So those other three schools need to have a backup or a backup to a backup and really be prepared for uncertainty on what's called yield, which is that percent of admitted students who enroll.
Wall Street Journal reporter Melissa Korn on wait lists. As many families today put down deposits on their schools of choice. Her report in about 20 minutes. President Trump is giving the European Union and some other nations more time to negotiate deals that would exempt them from U.S. steel and aluminum tariffs. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The White House said tariffs of 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum will not take effect today for the EU as previously scheduled. Instead, Europe will have an additional month to keep negotiating with the U.S. The tariffs are already in effect against China, Russia, Japan, and others. As expected, Canada and Mexico were also given the extension until June 1st. The White House said it has agreements in principle with Argentina, Brazil, and Australia to avoid the tariffs because those countries have agreed to quotas. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. The Trump administration is backing broad restrictions on the trade of metals to limit the direct and indirect effects of Chinese steel and aluminum production on the U.S. market. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is offering what he calls new evidence that Iran has maintained a secret plan to build nuclear weapons but repeatedly lied about it. That's something that would be a violation of the so-called Iran deal. Mr. Netanyahu's presentation yesterday came as President Trump nears a self-imposed May 12 deadline to make a call on the international agreement, which halted Iran's nuclear program in exchange for economic benefits.
Why would a terrorist regime hide and meticulously catalog its secret nuclear files if not to use them at a later date?
Iran has threatened to restart its program if the U.S. leaves the deal. Critics say the material shows why the deal should be overhauled or killed. But the Wall Street Journal says many experts and former officials said it provided no new information because inspectors have long held that Iran pursued a nuclear weapons program until 2003 and that some of these activities continued as late as 2009. And again, the current Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2015. With barely any possessions, eight women and children from a Central American caravan have been approved to enter U.S. territory to seek asylum. Reuters says they're part of a small group from the caravan who Mexican officials let walk over a pedestrian bridge on Sunday and who have been camped at the San Ysidro Gate ever since, when officials from Customs and Border Patrol said they were over capacity. President Trump yesterday criticized a system that many see some of the caravan members freed in the U.S. until their cases are resolved because a shortage of beds at detention centers.
Our immigration laws in this country are a total disaster. They're laughed at all over the world. They're laughed at for their stupidity. And we have to have strong immigration laws.
A larger group of about 150 people has not been let onto the bridge, fleeing what they say are death threats, extortion, and violence in their home neighborhoods controlled by street gangs. The asylum seekers must now convince U.S. officials they have reason to fear returning home. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could join us. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. During Small Business Month, Dell is offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th-gen Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. Thousands of Arizona teachers have met at the state capitol for a third day of walkouts, displacing hundreds of thousands of students from their classrooms. Educators want higher pay and more funding. Protests are expected to continue today and tomorrow.
It's our students. I think our students expect that of us. They want to have the best schools to go to attend, to graduate from, and we're not giving them to them right now. So we're doing the best we can. We're still making do with less, and it's unnecessary.
Meanwhile, Arizona parents continue to scramble to find alternative arrangements for their children. Parents who work during school hours can find it difficult to find ways for their children to be kept fed and productively busy. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. Michelle, a lot of this going on.
Arizona is the fourth state, fifth if you count Colorado, to see teachers go on some kind of strike, shut down schools for a couple days. This has been happening all the country, and it's putting parents in a lurch. You know, they either need to take time off of work or make other arrangements to have their kids taken care of. The other big concern is that a lot of kids depend on school not only for a place to be, but also a place to get food. You know, kids get free breakfast, free lunch, and so that sort of has to be taken care of.
Ouch. Well, I didn't think about that. So what are some families doing here?
So we saw that in a lot of these states, in Arizona, churches are really stepping up, food banks, community centers, to sort of give kids a place to go, daycare centers offering discounted rates or even sometimes just taking kids in for free.
Wow.
I spoke to a lot of parents who said, my 15-year-old is going to, take care of our neighbor's kids. So just a lot of communities stepping up.
Okay. For the states that have strikes going on right now by teachers, are these all legal? Because I know that gets messy sometimes, too, whether or not a state allows teachers to strike.
Right. That's kind of been a thorny issue. And technically, 36 states don't allow teachers to go on strike. It's illegal.
Wow.
But we're using the term strike here sort of loosely. I mean, what teachers are essentially doing is going on strike, but legally what they're doing is a little bit different. You know, they are saying we are protesting, and in many cases, superintendents are shutting down schools almost as if it's a snow day, and so teachers are not technically walking off the job if schools are already closed.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. Her piece is called When Teachers Strike, Parents Face Dilemma. What has brought this all together, I guess, for so many states at once, it seems like?
It's a really great question. There are lots of factors that go into it. But a theme seems to be, we've seen this happen in red states. It's spread from West Virginia to Oklahoma to Arizona, Kentucky. And the theme has really been that education funding really lags. In Arizona, we looked at the state and education funding was 10% higher in 2007 than it is today, and that's adjusted for inflation. And you've seen, the education funding fell as the state fell into a recession. But in the last few years, the state has sort of seen its revenues level up. They've had a lot more money coming in. The governor has even talked about having a surplus. But the education budget has sort of been decimated, and I think that is what has really upset teachers.
Wow. Does the sort of mass, a strike or demonstration here, do they feel that will work in their favor, that a handful of states are doing it at once?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about it, a strike, especially a statewide strike, is an extremely dramatic move. You have photos of teachers at the Capitol, but also you have this day-to-day feeling of parents, feeling the strike because their kids can't go to school. I mean, it's dramatic, and we've seen in basically every state so far, it's kind of forced lawmakers to acquiesce, to lesser or greater extent.
Boy, the one teacher from Colorado kind of laid on in your story, I think, really kind of mastered the spin of it all. And I say that in a complimentary way, not taking sides, but she said, I'm not walking out on my kids. The state of Colorado walked out on my kids
right,
when they didn't provide enough funding.
Whoa. These teachers are very on message. I mean, they're very media savvy, which is really interesting to watch. A lot of these campaigns have been organized not by unions, but by teachers themselves sort of on Facebook. And we see that in the messaging of the teacher who spoke in my story.
Thanks, Michelle. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. This portion of the program is brought to you by LightStream. Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Refinance your debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream rewards consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate. Credit card consolidation loans from 5.49% APR with auto pay and no fees. Application is 100% online, a simple and painless process. Apply today and get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way for our listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to lightstream.com/deal. That's LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream.com/deal. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount, available only when you select auto pay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com for important information about limits on LightStream loans and same-day funding. The special offer, again, is at lightstream.com/deal. It's 20 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon Special Counsel Robert Mueller has given a list of almost four dozen questions to lawyers for President Trump as part of his investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election and whether Trump obstructed justice. The New York Times has obtained a list of the questions, which range from Trump's motivations for firing FBI Director James Comey a year ago to contacts Trump's campaign had with Russians. Although Mueller's team has indicated to Trump's lawyers he's not considered a target, investigators remain interested in whether the president's actions constitute obstruction of justice and want to interview him about several episodes in office. U.S. border inspectors have allowed about eight of the Central American asylum seekers to enter the country for processing, ending a brief impasse over a lack of space. Now, the migrants who crossed Mexico in a group may face a long legal path. Vice President Mike Pence spoke at the Mexican border.
Make no mistake about it, the 150 men, women, and many small children that are being processed at our border, not far from here, will be completely reviewed by our customs officials under our asylum laws, and that will all take place.
About 140 others are still waiting in Mexico to turn themselves in at San Diego's border crossing. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has presented what he claims is new evidence that Iran maintained a secret plan to build nuclear weapons, but repeatedly lied about it.
These files conclusively prove that Iran is brazenly lying when it says it never had a nuclear weapons program.
Netanyahu's allegations come as President Trump nears a self-imposed May 12th deadline to make a call on an international agreement with Iran, which halted Iran's nuclear program in exchange for economic benefits. Iran has threatened to restart its program if the U.S. leaves the deal. Fitbit has teamed up with Google in an effort to get more deeply involved in the healthcare sector. The fitness tracker maker says it will use Google's health data standards for apps to connect its wearable devices to the electronic medical record systems used by doctors and hospitals. The aim eventually is to allow doctors to get health data straight from Fitbits on their patients' wrists.
Well then. This data shows that you went to McDonald's five times last week.
A little scary, right?
We need to have a conversation. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, Gledger with us. As hundreds of thousands of high school seniors face a deadline today to put down deposits at their college of choice, many still face uncertainty over where they will end up. Their futures are clouded by the school's use of wait lists to make sure they have the right number and type of students come fall. The University of Virginia, for example, increased the number of applicants invited onto wait lists by 68%. Between 2015 and 2017. At other schools, it's even higher. It's a story by Wall Street Journal higher education writer Melissa Korn. Melissa, what have you found?
So a lot of high school seniors have gotten their notifications from colleges in recent months, and plenty are getting admitted, many are getting rejected, and more are getting put on wait lists, which one high school senior described pretty aptly to me as college admissions purgatory. So these kids get put on wait lists. They have, frankly, a pretty slim shot of ever being admitted off those wait lists, and the wait lists are getting longer and longer because schools can't really predict how many admitted students are going to accept those offers. So they need essentially a deep bench of backups just in case.
All right, so but it's different these days than it's always been?
It is. At a lot of schools, the wait lists are getting longer because more high school seniors are applying to more colleges each, which means, say they get into four schools, they only go into one. So those other three schools need to have a backup or a backup to a backup and really be prepared for uncertainty on what's called yield, which is that percent of admitted students who enroll. So for some schools, that yield is, you know, in the 30s. For others, it's in the 50s. Even Harvard's not 100%. So about, I think it's about 80 to 85% of admitted students at Harvard actually enroll.
Jeez.
Even they need some backups.
Seems like they are jerking around with these kids' lives in some ways, even though I know it's the practice.
Yeah, it's definitely stressful for the high school seniors. They say, you know, they had their hopes set on a particular school. They might put a deposit down elsewhere, but they're still crossing their fingers, holding out hope that something comes through in May or June or even July.
I was surprised at the honesty which with some schools reply to you saying, and I'm reading between the lines, sometimes it's just not your year. We need a couple of more people who want to be English majors from South Dakota, so that's not you.
Right, and so the schools don't necessarily rank the waitlist candidates, by GPA or something like that. They look at, you know, do we have enough, as you said, English majors, or do we have geographic diversity that we're looking for, or do we have enough money to admit more students who have financial need? Some schools that are need blind during the regular admissions process will consider the financial situation of applicants when it comes to the waitlists. If they have money left over from financial aid, great, then need isn't an issue, but sometimes it does factor in. So the kids who can pay sticker price might have a better shot at getting in.
Thanks, Melissa. Wall Street Journal higher education writer Melissa Korn. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, for all of Small Business Month, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with 8th Gen Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. It is Tuesday, May 1st. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump puts some steel tariffs on hold. Arizona teachers and others continue walkouts. 8 women and children from Central America admitted to the U.S. to seek asylum. Facebook's 2-day developers conference kicks off today. Could be interesting to hear what Mark Zuckerberg has to say. Trump today meets with the crew and some passengers of that Southwest flight where an engine blew apart. 5 behaviors to extend your life by around 10 years. And a teenager's inspirational prom video. That story in about 20 minutes. It will take months, or perhaps years, to tell if the tax cuts President Trump signed at the end of 2017 will boost economic growth or help create jobs, as intended. But little by little, we're getting more evidence of what is likely to change under the new tax rules. More from Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. Rick, how do you see it?
Well, we know that the tax cuts are going to have a fairly big impact on at least the way people file their taxes. It will be a tax cut for some people. It'll be more noticeable for some than others. But there are going to be big changes in terms of the way people deduct expenses and whether they even decide to deduct expenses. So there's been some new research and some forecasts about how these things are likely to change. So I looked at this research and a few different pieces of new data, and there are going to be very large declines in the portion of people who claim a mortgage interest deduction. the portion of people who claim a state and local tax deduction, and there will be a big drop in the number of people who itemize deductions in the first place. So we'll see how these changes play out once people start to file their taxes next year. But one big thing could be there's going to be a lot less work for tax preparers.
How so? Because it's going to be so simple, apparently, for us to do it on our own?
It is going to be, easier. So if you're not itemizing deductions, and I'll just give you a quick number on this. For 2017, before the tax cuts went into effect, there were about 47 million people who itemized deductions on their tax returns. So when you itemize, that's when it gets complicated, and a lot of people think they need help from an accountant or a tax preparer because, you know, there are a lot of different rules, Schedule C and stuff like that. The Joint Committee on Taxation in Congress thinks that number is going to fall from 47 million people itemizing deductions in 2017 to just 18 million itemizing deductions in 2018.
Wow.
And that's mainly because of the new cap on the deductibility of state and local taxes, which used to be unlimited, and the cap is now you can only deduct up to $10,000 of those expenses. So because that just won't be much of a tax break anymore for a lot of people. They just won't itemize. And when they don't itemize, that means they also will not claim mortgage interest as a deduction. So big change is coming.
We're speaking with Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. He's written a piece entitled Three Big Changes Coming from the Trump Tax Cut. Explain, too, more about as you position it here, a windfall for businesses.
We know that this is a big tax break for big businesses. So just right off the bat, it cuts the corporate tax rate for big companies from 35% to 21%. So that's a big change. But it's a little more complicated what's happening with so-called pass-through businesses. But that's important because the vast majority of businesses in the United States are pass-through businesses, which means these are privately owned businesses, and instead of being taxed at a corporate rate, the owners are basically taxed as individuals. So the profit from the business is basically just counted as income. And according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, the effective tax rate for sole proprietor businesses, which is the majority of pass-throughs, will drop from 24.7% to 19.8%. So that's almost a 5 percentage point drop. That's a big drop in business taxes. And that means businesses, privately owned businesses, as well as the publicly owned ones that are getting most of the attention right now, privately owned businesses are going to be taking home, you know, a meaningful amount of additional profit.
Yeah. Generally speaking, is the same amount of revenue in tax money going to the government, just coming from different areas?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Like the government brings in X amount of dollars from taxes right now. Next year, well, we've got this tax cut in effect. Will that same dollar figure still be going to the government?
Not even close.
Right. So
I mean, that's one of two reasons, I think, why these tax cuts are very controversial. And they are, the majority of voters say they disapprove of these tax cuts rather than approve, which is pretty odd. Given that, most people's paychecks are getting bigger, and yet the majority of people say they don't approve.
Thanks, Rick. Yahoo Finance columnist Rick Newman. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday on what might be considered April 31st in some cases.
Why would it be considered that?
I don't know.
It's never been considered that before.
Well, I think April often feels left out because it just doesn't have as many days as some of the other months.
Oh, I see. 30 days, half September. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, so April's a little left out. So we'll offer it the April 31st option, even though today is May 1st.
I'd rather move on to May.
Fine.
Let's get towards summer, can't we?
It's true. Weather-wise, okay, I'm on board with that. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, this will come as sad news to some, happy news to others. The world's oldest known spider has died at the ripe old age of 43. The female trapdoor spider, known simply as number 16, didn't die of old age either. Australian scientists say it was killed by a wasp sting. Number 16 was the oldest spider on record by a long shot, besting the previous record holder, a Mexican tarantula, by 15 years. And like humans, it was the spider's lifestyle that researchers say contributed to its long life, including living in uncleared native brushland, its sedentary nature, and low metabolism. The research team said it was, quote, really miserable to discover that the spider, born in 1974, had been killed.
Wow.
Now, some people might be celebrating such news, but they were really, really miserable about it.
You would think at the age of 43,
yeah,
this female trapdoor spider
yes,
would have enough experience to know not to turn her back on a wasp.
Yes. Yeah. It was probably leaving this, leaving its home, which is that's a problem. That's why it led such a long life and lived to 43 was because I guess it stayed close to home and wasn't out there for predators to catch it. So.
Great research by the wasp.
Yes.
In launching this attack.
Right.
In this, what'd you call it? Uncovered brushland or something?
Right,
untouched
right.
Brushland.
You know what I like, though, is that spiders can live a long time by being, sedentary
yes,
in nature and, they,
yes,
and having a low metabolism.
That's right.
That doesn't really work for humans.
How do you
though.
Do that, spider? Please share.
That's the research we need to find
that's
out
right.
about from these folks in Australia.
That's right. I want low metabolism
yeah.
with a sedentary lifestyle.
And anyone who commutes by car, Gordon, knows the fun of merging in traffic and the frustrations that can cause, leading to heated exchanges, both verbal and nonverbal. Two drivers in Houston are going viral, however, for choosing to settle a dispute over who had the right of way in a different way, with a friendly game of rock, paper, scissors. A man named Marco Sanchez posted a video to Facebook showing him challenging another driver to the game to see who would get to go first in the lane amid extremely slow rush hour traffic last week.
Say paper, rock, scissors for it! Paper, rock, scissors! I'll let you in if you win! Come on! Something. Go for it, man.
As you can hear, Sanchez lost the game. Rock smashes scissors and paper covers rock for those keeping score at home, though you can tell he's not too broken up about it. The unusual example of driver cooperation has struck a chord with people, with the video now having been viewed over 2.5 million times, shared nearly 60,000 times, and it has over 10,000 comments.
Wow.
Yeah, people really liked it.
No way this happened on a rainy Monday morning, by the way.
No. No, it actually looked like a pretty nice day.
Surely
just everybody
was
stuck in traffic with their windows down.
It must have been Friday afternoon, 75 degrees, people cutting out early or something like that.
Everybody on their way someplace fun, maybe on their way to a concert or a sporting event or something like that.
People are in a good mood.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. You can follow me directly as well on Twitter with the username @GordonDeal. Americans could add years to their lives with just a handful of healthy habits. Right now, the typical 50-year-old American can be expected to live another 30 to 33 years. But researchers at Harvard say 5 lifestyle habits could add roughly a decade to that. It's nothing you haven't heard, but not many people do them. Not smoking, eating healthy, exercising regularly, keeping a normal weight, and drinking in moderation. Eating right, by the way, means vegetables, fruit, whole grains, beans, fish, poultry, and good fats from sources like olive oil and nuts, and cut back on added sugar, red meat, and sodium. Regular exercise here means a brisk walk for at least 30 minutes a day. You don't need a gym for that. Moderate alcohol means no more than 1 drink per day for women, no more than 2 for the guys. Keep that up, and women can expect to live to about age 93. For men, it was 88. Fail to follow those guidelines. You could punch out at 75 if you're a man, 79 if you're a woman. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the first 8 members of a group of Central American migrants have entered U.S. territory to seek asylum after a month-long journey through Mexico that's drawing the wrath of President Trump. The 8 women and children walk through a door into the San Ysidro port of entry on the bidding of a Customs and Border Patrol officer, hours after Vice President Mike Pence promised they would be promised in line with U.S. law.
It's important, as I said earlier today, to recognize the people in the caravan, people that come often through great peril to try and come into this country either by applying for access at our border or by coming into the country illegally are often victims themselves.
About three-quarters of claims by Central American asylum seekers are ultimately unsuccessful, resulting in detention and deportation. The White House has postponed a decision on imposing tariffs on U.S. imports of steel and aluminum from the European Union, Canada, and Mexico for 30 days, avoiding the potential for a trade battle with Europe as the U.S. prepares for tense trade talks in China this week. The Trump administration said yesterday it had already reached agreements with South Korea, Argentina, Australia, and Brazil. Workers and activists are marking May Day with rallies to demand their government address labor issues. International Workers' Day is a public holiday in many countries, though activities are restricted in some places, sometimes leading to confrontations. In the U.S., thousands of educators in Arizona plan continued protests over pay and school funding. Yesterday, about 10,000 showed up in Phoenix for a third day of rallies, including Gilbert school board member Jill Humphreys.
I would hope that the governor will listen carefully to their demands, because I think one of the challenges is that last year the governor gave a 1.06% raise, but it only went to some teachers.
The protests have displaced hundreds of thousands of students from the classroom. 20 years since releasing their debut smash, I Want You Back, NSYNC has been inducted into the Hollywood Walk of Fame. For the first time in 5 years, the five members of the group reunited to unveil the star yesterday on Hollywood Boulevard. They paid tribute to loved ones, including their parents, who were by their sides at the height of the group's heyday.
NSYNC got a star.
They did.
On the Hollywood Boulevard.
What's even funnier is they had to thank their parents because they were just kids then, and the parents were like shuffling them around the country.
That's right. Yeah. This is Justin Timberlake's group.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you. And we need the music to sort of support all this. It's not enough that we just talked about NSYNC. Now we got to have the music. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Another viral video for you. This one of a teenager's sheer determination to make her prom a memorable one for more than the usual stuff. She surprised her prom date by walking for the first time in 10 months. Twitter user named Morgan, who's from Utah, has been in a wheelchair for nearly a year after suffering with conversion disorder following an operation. She greeted her date by welcoming him at her front door, standing in her dress. Then she walks slowly toward him as he enters. After taking a moment to process what he's seeing, he rushes to hug his date, shouting, "No, how did you do that?" Conversion disorder is a mental condition where a person has blindness, paralysis, or other neurologic symptoms that cannot be explained by medical evaluation. The video has racked up 11 million views since April 28. Another clip, by the way, appears to show Morgan being named prom queen. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.